Out here. Hold on. Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our shiur. Today's shiur is based on a pasuk in yesterday's parasha. The Torah tells us, the very beginning of parashas told us, the birth of Yaakov and Esav. And then it says that initially when they were born, that each one came out with a different appearance. Then the Torah tells us about 7-8 psukim into the parasha. It says, Vayigdulu hana'arim, that the young men grew up, and at that point, they began to go different ways. So the Torah tells us, Vahi Esav ish yodeh tzayidish sada, that Esav became a hunter, V'yakov ish tom yoshev aholim, and Yaakov was a more of a sincere type of simple person who sat in the ohel. He stayed indoors, he stayed in the Beis HaMedrash, and he learned Torah. That's basically the way the pasuk is understood. So Rashi tells us, that Rashi points out that the pasuk begins with the words "Vayigdulu hana'arim," that the young men grew up. So Rashi points out that this was kolzman shehayu ketanim. It's not on the sheet, but it's in the. It's a well-known Rashi that so long as they were ketanim, so long as they were young, well, hayu nikarim b'maseihem. So then you couldn't really tell. It wasn't so discernible their actions when you observed them. You couldn't tell so clearly what each one was about. And therefore, you couldn't really get to the essence of each one what they were like. However, but once they became 13, once they became bar mitzvah, so zeh pirish lebatei midrashos, zeh pirish leavodah zarah. So at that point, Yaakov gravitated towards the Beis Medrash, to a place to study, and Esav gravitated towards avodah zarah. So clearly the idea of our bar mitzvah is in the parasha. So I wanted to take the opportunity to discuss things that are relevant to the laws of bar mitzvah that we're not always so familiar with, and some of them are relevant long beyond that, and some are relevant before. So we know the following. We know the Mishnah in Maseches Avos tells us that ben shlosha esrei with mitzvahs, that when a child becomes, on a boy, that is, becomes 13 years old, he's obligated in mitzvahs, and we know as well that by a girl, it's a year earlier, that it begins at the age of 12. Who decided this? Where do we find it? You can go through the Chumash from start to finish. You will not find any mention of it. One of the most basic Jewish institutions, bar mitzvah, right? And we don't find it. So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us that shiurim chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha u'mosh misinayin. The Gemara tells us that there are three groupings of halachas that were orally transmitted to Moshe and Har Sinai. There are certain laws that don't appear in the Torah. It's halacha u'mosh misin. It has to be that way. It has to be that way, and even though it does not appear anywhere. So one of those things is one of the groupings of laws of shiurim. Shiurim means the various the measurements of various items that affect halacha. Like, for example, we know that there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that involve eating. Let's say by us, the only one that we have is eating matzah on the night of Pesach, but they used to be eating karbonos and so forth. So how much does a person have to eat in order to fulfill the mitzvah? What happens? Is it good enough? A person takes a little crumb. A person doesn't like matzah on Pesach. Just take a little crumb. So the answer is no. There is a shear. The shear is that a person has to have a kezias. It has to have the size of an olive. We once discussed what that size is. But that's the shear of a kezias. It works the other way too. If a person violating a law in order to be punishable by Beis Din, so also there's a shear. If a person took just a very tiny amount of chazer, if a person took non-kosher meat and ate it, so there would be no punishment by Beis Din, there would be no malchus until a person eats a kezias. However, I would point out that not one shouldn't think, therefore, that, okay, great, so, you know, I'll run right out of here and go get some bacon. I'll just have the small pieces. So the reason why you can't do that is because the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the last parak of Maseches Yuma that chatzi shir asim in atara, that even though the punishment is only administered for a certain amount, but nevertheless you can't eat even a little bit. Right, you can't even chatzishir, with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, it means not just a half a shir, as the words might sound like, but rather it means even a drop. So a person would be violating a Torah law, even eating a drop of bacon, But in the time when they had the punishments given out by Beis Din, so the penalty for that would not be unless a person ate a kezias, right? Similarly, you know, one of the great fears that kids have, especially when they start learning the laws of Pesach, is that, oh my gosh, you know, maybe somehow a crumb of chametz fell into my mouth, and gosh, I'm going to be chayav kares. So that's nonsense, because of the fact that the chiyuv of kares, feeding chametz on Pesach, is also governed by this, that it has to be a kezias. Again, you can't eat anything, because that's the principle of chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means that even a small amount is a violation of an aveira, but the punishment does not come unless the person eats a kezias. So that's an example of a shir.
And intentionally, right.
And so it is with many, many things. The shir is not always a kezias. We know when it comes to Yom Kippur, the shir achil is larger than a kezias because it's governed by a different pasuk in the Torah, so therefore the shir for that is kosevis. It has to be the size of a date, a fresh date, a plump date. Gemara says kosevis agasa. So, okay, but that's the idea of a shir. So we have this concept that there are various measurements. So too, there is a measurement as far as at what point is a person obligated in mitzvahs. At what point is a person obligated in mitzvahs? So for this, the Kabbalah came down. The Mesorah that we have is that for a boy it's 13 and for a girl it's 12. Why for a girl is it earlier? Why for a girl does it begin a year earlier? So the Gemara quotes, the Gemara Maseches Nida and Daf Mem Hey quotes the pasuk that says that when Chava was created, so it says, "Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Asela," that we know the pasuk tells us that that God took a bone from the body of Adam and Rishon and created Chava from that. So it says, "Vayiven Hashem Elokim." So the Gemara interprets the pasuk "Vayiven" in one interpretation to mean that there was, it's like an interesting thing. Hashem built Chava. What is that supposed to mean? It should say "Vayas." The same way it says by everything else in the Torah that was made. Right, vayas this, vayas that. When it comes to the creation of the first woman, it says vayiven. So the Gemara gives two interpretations, but one of them, which is widely quoted in all the girls' schools, is that vayiven means from the word bina. The word vayiven is the same root as the word bina, which is understanding. That bina yisera nitna leisha, that women were given a greater level of understanding, a deeper level of understanding than men. So says the Gemara. Bina Yisera. Okay, sometimes you see that and it plays out a lot of times in life. A person's wife gets very good, especially when it comes to child rearing, get very good insight, very good understanding. So that's a Bina Yisera. So the Gemara says that Bina Yisera is not just a lifelong idea that there is a certain depth of understanding, but the Gemara interprets it to mean that it comes earlier. In other words, the Bini Yisera, in other words, in what sense is it more wisdom than a man has? So according to the Gemara Maseches Nida, what that means is that it comes at an earlier stage. So the idea of Bar and Bas Mitzvah is largely rooted in maturity. Right? It has to do with maturity. So maturity is both physical maturity and emotional maturity, intellectual maturity. Both of those things go into it. Right, that's why a child, a katan, is considered not a bar mitzvah. The Gemara uses a very strong expression, not a bar das. There's no das. It's very insulting. You tell a kid, you know, goes to school, 10-year-old child, is a good student, they have no das. What it means is that they don't have the full complement of das to make good decisions. In other words, sometimes a child can make a good decision, sometimes a child can make a childish decision. Right, because of the fact it's not an IQ issue. It has to do with a certain maturity to be able to get to the truth and determine that this is good and this is bad, which is often lacking. So therefore, in a girl, the Torah tells us vayiven that it came at an earlier age. So therefore, the halacha is that a girl is a bas mitzvos 1 year earlier than a boy. Okay, now when it comes to a boy, even though, as I said, it's essentially halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but there are what's called asmachta. There are certain things that appear in the Chumash that a little bit bear out this idea. So most notably, the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayishlach that when Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah, after Dinah was abducted by Shechem, so Shimon and Levi went into the city of Shechem and killed them out. So it says in the Pasuk, that Vayikhu Ish Charbo, that each man took his sword. Vayikhu Ish Charbo, and in the Chazal it says that Shimon and Levi were both 13 years old at that time. Now, how could that be if they were brothers from the same mother, right? So they weren't twins. So the answer is that they were born, you know, one was born at the beginning of the year, one was born at the end of the year. But the fact of the matter is that they were both 13 years old, and that is the source for, that's one of the, what's called an asmachta. Asmachta just means that it is, one shouldn't think, even things that are halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, so we believe that there's some indication in the Torah, it's not totally separated, it's not totally mufka from what it says in the Chumash, there's some basis to it, so that would be a basis. Also, they point to the pasuk by Bezalel, the architect of the Mishkan, was 13 years old when he did it, quite an accomplishment, right? So it says that ish ish mi malachto, the Torah uses the word ish. So based on that, we have the determination that there is an age that is considered the age for mitzvahs. A young man would be considered an ish, and that is at the age of 13. Now, it needs to be, we spoke years ago once on this topic, and it's not really what I wanted to get into heavily, but we need to understand a little bit what is before that. What is the status of a child before that? Now, we know, for example, we've seen that sometimes, you know, oh, I forgot to put the light on Shabbos, you know, before Shabbos, I forgot to. So somehow the child walks into the room, and abracadabra, the next thing you know, the light is on, right? The light is on, and, you know, one of the parents, you know, gives him a pat on the back, you know, don't ever do that again. So right. So the fact of the matter is that this is a question. Is this allowed? In other words, so people who do this assume that, well, kid's not bar mitzvah. The kid's not bar mitzvah. Do whatever you want. So that's not really true, because the din of before bar mitzvah, the patur, the exemption, is not from all mitzvahs. But the way the achronim come out, it's essentially from mitzvahs aseh. In other words, a positive mitzvah, a child, a boy before 13 and a girl before 12, does not have to do. Now, you don't have to force your kid to shake a lulav. If they don't want to, okay, that's it. What could you do? There's an inyan of chinuch. Obviously, you're supposed to try to train the child, but if it came down to it and the child refused to do it, so be it. However, the Gemara tells us that katan ochel nevelus. So what happens if you have a child who's eating non-kosher food? So the Gemara says that on the one hand, the Beis Din is not obligated to intervene. Beis Din doesn't have to get involved. It used to be that when we had authoritative Bate Din, which regrettably we don't really have today, but when there used to be authoritative Bate Din, so they also had like a policing type of dimension. In other words, that they can enforce the mitzvahs. So therefore, you see someone eating non-kosher food, go over to him and say, I'm sorry, you can't eat that, it's not kosher. So the Gemara says that Beis Din does not have to intervene with a katan who's doing it, but garinbo, the Gemara says, but you're supposed to look, give the child the impression that this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable, and the fact of the matter is, oh yeah, okay, thank you. And the fact of the matter is that the parents also have to get involved to see to it that it doesn't happen. Obviously, it depends how young the child is. You know, sometimes you have a two-year-old kid who's running around in the house and starts playing the piano on Shabbos. So really, you don't have to do anything, because the child has absolutely no das at that time, doesn't understand Shabbos. So people do it because, you know, what are the neighbors going to think? You know, but technically speaking, you're not obligated to do it. But a mitzvah will also say it's not correct that a child, that the people assume, a kid could do anything, it's not bar mitzvah. It's not true. He can't eat not kosher food. He has to be told, you can't eat this. And whatever, you know, there are various stages of chinuch also. Some bisurim derabbanan, you know, has waiting 6 hours, so not, you know, that's a din derabbanan, how long each child, at what age you have to wait. But whatever the case may be, it's not like before the age of mitzvahs you could do what you want. That's a mistake. And therefore, to get a child to turn on the light on Shabbos is absolutely wrong. It's wrong to do. There's no heter. So if the child did on his own, that's okay. In other words, sometimes you can have that. If you have a young kid walks into the room and is sensitive to the fact that it's dark, so if the kid turned on the light, okay, the kid turned on the light. But to go ahead and tell the child, go do it, that is not correct. So this is a common fallacy that people have. But anyway, this is this is how it plays out before the age of bar mitzvah. Once a child becomes bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, so at that point the obligation to keep all the mitzvahs kicks in. Okay, so that's very that's a very daunting type of obligation. All of a sudden, you wake up one morning, or even it starts the night before, whatever. You know, all of a sudden, the kid has to do all the mitzvahs. So for this reason, children have to go to school, because you must learn. The children have to learn before they're that age. It's too much to just decide one day, oh, by the way, congratulations, today you have come of age, and therefore I have to tell you the whole Torah. It's not going to work, right? So you have to, you have to sit down and you know, in advance, prepare the child for this. Okay, now, the age requirement for bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah is for a boy 13 years and a day, and for a girl 12 years and a day, meaning it must be full years. But full years mean that it goes by the date on the calendar. You don't always have to take into consideration, you for sure do not have to take into consideration the hour that the child was born. In other words, for example, let's say a child was born on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the child, this girl, will 12 years later be a bas mitzvah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it's not like you say, well, it's only you go to Meisle, so it's not calculated that way. However, that's only as far as hours. But as far as days go, it is that way. And we know last year, for example, we had a leap year. So here in the, obviously every year there are bar mitzvahs. So last year, if I'm not mistaken, we had a leap year, which was 13 years after a previous leap year. Is that right? Flamholtz had a bar mitzvah son last year, right? Okay, so it's 13 years after. So now, if a child is born in the first month of Adar, okay, so 13 years later, in the first month of Adar, according to the consensus, not everyone, but the consensus opinion, is that the child will be bar mitzvah at that age. However, if a child is born in a regular year, and then 13 years later is a leap year, so then you have to wait until the second month of Adar, because it has to be considered a full year. So you'll say, what do you mean? But the kid is already more than, add up the days, you'll see, it's more than 13 years. The English bar mitzvah, you know, not that that counts, but I'm saying the 13th year, in the 13th birthday in the secular calendar was a long time ago. But it doesn't matter. This is the halacha, that it goes by the years of the halacha, and therefore, should that be, this happens a lot of times. And whenever there's a leap year, if a child is coming by mitzvah, the first thing you have to look at is what was 13 years ago, or for a girl, what was 12 years ago. You have to see what that was in order to make a determination of what it should be now. Okay, now here's where things get a little interesting. Okay, age is not the only criteria when it comes to this. Okay, because the Gemara says that a person needs shanim, and there's also simonim, meaning that there has to be signs of physical maturity. Signs of physical maturity also are required to make a person, whether boy or girl, makes no difference, has to be signs of physical maturity, which according to the Gemara is a discussion about this, but this is also tradition from Har Sinai, means there has to be the appearance of pubic hair in order for the child to be considered a bar or bas mitzvah. Okay, now, the question is that this is not necessarily always the case, and what are you going to do? You're going to start checking, you know, it's an uncomfortable situation. So the Gemara tells us the following distinction, which people are often not aware of. And that is, so the great rabbi in the Gemara, Rava, one of the Gedolei Amoraim, Rava said that there is a chazakah. There is a chazakah, there's an assumption that a person is allowed to halachically assume that if a child has reached that age, baruch lal shanim, baruch lal simanim, that if the child has reached that age, then they also have reached that age when they've also reached the age of physical maturity, and you don't have to check. So said Rava in the Gemara. Now, if that's the case, then okay, then it's no big deal. However, the poskim say that this chazaka can only be relied upon for something which is an inyan midrabanan, but not something which is midaraisa. Okay, it can only be relied upon for factors that are rabbinic in nature. So, for example, the most common one, I assume, is can you count into a minyan? So the counting into a minyan is a din derabbanan, right? To hold tefillah is a question, you know, whether tefillah is d'oraisa derabbanan, but certainly tefillah b'tzibur is a din derabbanan. So therefore, when it comes to that, if you know that a child was bar mitzvah, the child can be counted in to the minyan. However, the question comes up, what happens if the child is, let's say, bar mitzvah, this happens the Shabbos before Purim. So the Shabbos before Purim, there is, in addition to the regular Kriyas HaTorah, so we also have the special reading of Parshas Zohar. We read the last three psukim from Parshas Kisese, which speaks about the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. Now that reading is a Torah-mandated reading. So therefore you have, and it happens every year, the kids are born every day, every week, so it happens every year. Boy is bar mitzvah, that Shabbos. The boy is bar mitzvah that Shabbos. So now the question is, and the custom, the American custom has become already for many generations that the child who's bar mitzvah is put under the enormous pressure of having to read the whole parsha in front of the shul, which is a different discussion from an educational standpoint, how wise that is. You know, I once taught, for 1 year I taught 7th grade boys in New York, and I remember that some of the best Gemara learners all of a sudden, at a certain point of the year, just dropped off the map. They were coming to school, but when I was talking to them, it was going in one ear and out the other. And I couldn't understand why. And then I found out that's because now they're studying to practice for the bar mitzvah. So that pressure became a tremendous pressure. It distracted them from their schoolwork. So whatever, I'm not, you know, that it is what it is. This is not a a time-honored custom that goes back to the very far. You speak to Jews for both European and Sephardic origins, and they'll tell you it was not that way. I remember once there was an older person who lived in this neighborhood who told me that when he was bar mitzvah in the early 1930s in Baltimore, so a week before his bar mitzvah, the gabbai went over to his father and said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I just realized that somebody in the shul has yard site next Shabbos. I have to give him after. I can't give it to your son. So your son's supposed to be bar mitzvah. So he told me, his father said, okay, so make the bar mitzvah the week after. Right? Now today, this would be a cause for a federal emergency, right? They'd be calling in who knows what, the mediation and all kinds of things. This would be in court, right? Bez Din, everywhere, right? Why? Because first of all, the kid prepared the whole parasha. So what are you going to do? You can't just do it in a week. And second of all, what if the kiddush and the invitations? But he said to me, in those days, reading being bar mitzvah meant that you got the last aliyah and you recited the haftarah from a chumash, which had all the notes and all the vowels, and they had herring and cake by the kiddush, so the herring and cake you could have the week later also. So, what's that?
But that's the old story in the Hasidic shtibel, like, went to the rabbi, we have two chiyuvim, bar mitzvah,
right.
And he said, who should have the
mafia? Right. Which one's older? Right, the old joke, right. Okay, so the fact is that they have it, right? In other words, this is, but for whatever it is, for whatever the case may be, this is the practice. Okay, there are good reasons why they made it in America differently. They wanted to get the kids involved at a younger age. They were afraid they were going to lose all the youth. I understand that. Yeah.
I ended up having to do a little research on this.
Yeah.
The custom, or if it's a custom,
yeah,
for a person with a year's type to do the Haftorah,
yeah,
isn't any older than the American custom for the boy to
leave? I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Okay, we'll see about that. Okay. But anyway, whatever the case may be, but this is the thing. Now, a boy who is bar mitzvah that week before Purim, so he reads the Torah, and he reads the Parsha, because the reading of the Parsha is also considered essentially the Rabbanan, even though it was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevertheless, it's considered halachically a din de Rabbanan, but the reading of Parsha Zohar at the end of the Parsha is a din d'oraisa. So therefore, what comes out is that in that type of situation, the rav of the shul who's on the ball will see to it that they get someone else to read. They get an adult to read the last aliyah. Meaning, in other words, the entire parsha, whatever, let's say it's parsha's vayikra, often it is, right? So it would be parsha's vayikra, so the kid could read the entire parsha, but the parsha's zohar should be read by an adult. Why is that? Because since you don't know that this child has reached physical maturity, so therefore you can't rely on this chazaka for a din d'oraisa. Okay, now, where does this come up? this comes up a lot. The question is, at what point does this change? Right? And where does it come up? So sometimes you have a kid who happens to be very talented, adept, and he learned how to blow the shofar very well. He learned how to blow the shofar very well, and it comes before Rosh Hashanah. There are always all kinds of minyanim in different places. You know, the large shuls are all set. They have their... Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm fighting a cough. I appreciate it. I'm not thirsty, so I'm not saying a bracha. Thank you very much. The fact of the matter is that the large shuls, so they all have their people, the Baltakeya, whatever it is. But sometimes you have a small shul or a shul that's a little bit diminishing in size and membership, and they need someone to blow the shofar. So they put up a sign. Does anyone know anyone could blow the shofar? So now I have a 15-year-old kid who blows the shofar very well. But the thing is that to blow the shofar is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So he needs to be able to be motzi the people with that mitzvah. So it's very questionable. How do you know? So the poskim say that something which doesn't help so much, which is that if it's nismale zikno, that if the beard on his face already grows in well, not just a little bit, but grows in nismale, that it grows in well thoroughly, so then you could assume he's okay. But that's very often not the case with a 15-year-old boy. So this is a problem. Now, a lot of times, the shuls jump at this. And they, great, come. So you want to make him the chazan, you can make him the chazan. That's fine. If he's a good voice, he could be the Baal Shachris, Baal Musaf, no problem. But to blow the shofar, this is a question. The same thing would be true for anything in halacha that you need edus. Right? Sometimes you have a get is being written, or edim at a wedding, edim kedushin, so generally they call up all the people. But theoretically, let's say you have a situation where the only people available, there's a young boy, so you can't use him. That's needed min haTorah. So for this, a rav has to be consulted. This is a serious thing, especially on a get. A very serious thing, because if the person is not qualified to be a witness, so because he's lacking this component, unless you know, I mean, okay, you know, but if you don't know, you can't assume that. You cannot assume that that's the case. Yeah, good.
Could you ask the kid?
Can you ask the kid? So we'll see in a second about that. The question even goes before that. Can you ask a kid if he's bar mitzvah, count him into a minyan? We'll get to that. But anyway, this is something which theoretically comes up, and people are not careful because you just assume that he's bar mitzvah. Right, but if it's nogeya to a mitzvah in the Torah, now it could theoretically affect the girl also because of the fact that a girl cannot accept the kedushin. I mean, the practice in this country is nobody gets married so young, but you know there were countries, Eastern countries, and even in Europe, got married very young. So a katan ketana, the kedushin is not midaraisa. So the unless a father married her off, but the thing is that. So there too, you have to know these things. So this is something which I just want to point out that there's also a question. For example, a child that has owned bar mitzvah, a young boy has owned bar mitzvah. So they get everyone after davening Friday night. The family gets together. They have a big suda, and they want to give the boy should make kiddush. Okay, so making kiddush Friday. This is a controversy in halacha because making kiddush on Friday night is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Making Kiddush Shabbos morning is not, but Friday night is. So the question is, can you give the kid to make Kiddush? So there is an opinion, the Magen Avraham in the side of the Shulchan Aruch said a very famous Kiddush, that he said that if a person already daven Ma'ariv, so really when you daven Ma'ariv, you make Kiddush, because you don't make Kiddush on wine, but you say the Baruch HaBaruch HaTa Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos. So therefore, the only thing that remains after that is to make Kiddush on wine, which is a Din D'Rabbanan. So if everybody daven Ma'ariv, so then the boy can make Kiddush. However, that's very often not the case with the women. In other words, it could be the men were all there, but the women weren't necessarily davening. So then women have an obligation in Kiddush just as much as men. So therefore, for that reason, people who know, on the one hand, you want to honor this young fellow to appreciate the fact that he's in mitzvahs, but on the other hand, you have to know when it applies to when it doesn't. So this is an area which people are not aware of. Yes,
there are some children under 3 years old. They have a full vocabulary. Can you hint for the child to do something, or is it better to knock on the goyzlo?
To do something on Shabbos,
yes,
better knock on the goyzlo.
Better knock on the goyzlo.
Yeah. You should not train the kids. Also, yeah, for a number of reasons.
Even if they're two to three, they have a full
vocabulary. Yeah, also, by the Sarasa Dibra says, Atu Vincha Vitechu, the Gemara says, means even a child. So therefore, it's not such a simple thing. Okay, now, what the question comes up, who could say that a child is bar mitzvah? Right, so we never think about this, because you live in a community, so, okay, you know, there's bar mitzvah, whether you were there or not, whatever it is, but you know this boy is bar mitzvah, and you see he puts on tefillin and the whole nine yards, okay, fine. But let's say someone comes into shul and you need a minyan, and very often happens, you know, I don't know about everyone else, but you sort of, I always get the impression that the bar mitzvah boys are getting smaller and smaller every year, right? If you ever got that feeling, right? So someone walks in, and you say, is he you need him for a minyan? Are you bar mitzvah? So let's say he says, yeah, I'm bar mitzvah. Can you believe that? So you say, well, why shouldn't you believe it? You're calling my son a liar? Not calling him a liar, but in order to say testimony in halacha, you have to be a gadol. So therefore, you're testifying about yourself that you're that age. Who says you're that age? If you're not that age, then your testimony is meaningless. So therefore, that in itself is highly questionable, whether you could rely on a kid. Now, you'll say, what does that mean? So everyone has to come in with a birth certificate to shul, right? And especially if there's a question whether a birth certificate is also necessarily reliable, whatever. Okay, but let me get into that. All right, we'll assume that is. But the fact is that here, since you're dealing with a minyan, is a din d'rabbanan. So a minyan is a din d'rabbanan. So therefore, the accepted practice of people is that they do rely on the kid if he says it. That's what's accepted. Not everybody. There's the Ravad Yosef has a tshuva about this, and he wants to say that since it's the Rabbanon, so there's more room to be makel. There's more room to be met. In other words, you need him to testify, but it's a testimony that's only relevant to a din de Rabbanon. So maybe it's not such a big deal. That's what not everyone agrees, but that's what he says. But if the father is with him. So the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin that a father is believed to say a number of things about his son. He's neman to say that this he can identify which of his children is that the child is a bechor, let's say, for example. And a father is believed to say that his son is bar mitzvah. So therefore, if he's along, so then the father says, yeah, you have me and you have my son over here. Even though you look at him, you say, he looks like he's 10 years old, but the father said he's bar mitzvah, so he's bar mitzvah. But short of that, there is a question whether or not the kids, so like I say, in most shuls, I don't want to start trouble, especially if they have a hard time getting a minyan, so certainly everybody relies on this. What Rav Avadi Yosef said, that they rely, l'kula, that you could trust the child. It's not a question of trust. You have to realize that when we talk about believing or not believing, the question is not whether he's a liar or not. That's not, because that's very nasty to accuse someone, suspect someone of being a liar. But rather, what it means is he of the age that he's capable of testifying? That's a legal question. In other words, is he old enough? Now, I just want to point out also, other things come up. We were talking before about the difference between Daraisa and Darabanan, in terms of assuming the child is old enough, you have business deals. Also, where this comes up, and testifying about a business deal. So the same way there are laws in the secular, everyone has to deal with this on some level. At what point is a person considered reliable? This is a basic concept in every legal system. So we have it here in Halacha too. Yeah.
Trust seeing a kid being used as a minion somewhere else?
Can what?
In other words, can you be masking a kid as a gullible? Because I know it's...
So that's a question.
I never asked them. But I just saw him yesterday in shul and he made a
minyan. I think you could if you could trust him in the first place. There are questions.
I don't know how they figure.
There's all kinds of questions. Some people. The question is, a different question. Can you be machzik? Can you assume that a child is bar mitzvah because he puts on tefillin? So I saw him in shul this morning. He's putting on tefillin. They put on tefillin in advance. They put on tefillin in advance. So it's not everyone. It's different customs, but a lot of people do. So, who says you can rely on that? So, I don't know. This is a complicated question. It's rarely asked, but I'm just pointing out. A lot of times we do things, nobody thinks about it, but if you get into the underlying issue, If you get into the underlying issue, you say, well, how do you know? You know, it happens, a very young-looking child walks in to shul, and he tells his bar mitzvah, you need a minion. Okay, so we all trust him, but it's an interesting dion to know. Now, what about, is there a bar mitzvah by a guy? Is it bar mitzvah by a guy? Now, is it, what in the world? Why should he need a bar mitzvah by a guy? So the question is, what happens if it's Erev Pesach, and you have to sell the chametz? You have to sell the chametz, you're looking for a guy. Okay, and all the goyim, the older goyim are at work, right? The rabbi woke up at the last minute. He didn't prepare in advance a guy, right? He's too busy cleaning out his, vacuuming out the under his refrigerator or some, who knows what, right? So now he wakes up that there's no, I have a guy. So here you have, you know, little, you know, Julio walking down the street, okay? And the question is, Can I assume that he is? What's the age? And I say, how old are you? He's 15. Okay, thank you very much. 15 years old. So is that good enough? Is that good enough? That's a question, because if you don't, this is a real deal. In other words, mechiras chametz is not a joke, right? It's a real sale. If it's not a real sale, everybody has chametz on Pesach. Yeah,
right.
So
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's a real deal because in the secular courts, you hear it all the time. Is he being charged as an adult for a murder?
But the halacha doesn't go by that necessarily.
Right. So what is an adult as a goy?
What is that? This you have to ask. We have some attorneys who are sitting here. I don't know. I don't want to. I have enough time talking about halacha. I'm going to talk about things I know nothing about. Right.
But bring up your point.
Yeah.
What is an adult as a goy? 13.
Yeah.
13.
Is he an adult? No.
That's
yeah,
the
okay.
Secular law is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because they someone under the age of 18 can disavow their contract.
Under what age?
18.
Right, okay. Okay, so now there you have it. So if in the secular law it's 18, and now you want to do Mechiras Chametz. You want to do Mechiras Chametz, and this little Julio is 15 years old. You know he's 15. I saw his birth certificate. He's 15 years old. So does a goyim governed by the same law of Bar Mitzvah as Jews? Or do you say, no, that it requires an older age? So this is a question in the poskim. So the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva about this, and he said that it does not go by bar mitzvah. By a non-Jew, it has to be daito shlema. It has to be that you know that this he's mature and that he makes good decisions. Not 18 either. In other words, I don't know. It's hard to tell what exactly. I didn't give an age, but in other words, it has to be that you could tell from observing this person that he has the full complement of mature judgment.
Right.
How exactly? Today's world is very hard to tell that. Right, but the fact of the matter is, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm saying you're in a lot bigger trouble if you didn't buy it in the first place, right? But other people, it's brought down. Other people say that a guy does go by bar mitzvah. In other words, there are poskim that say that the law of bar mitzvah applies to a guy also. So therefore, you know, if you have a business partner whose son, an associate whose son just became 13, and you want to send them a card, congratulations on your bar mitzvah, right? And the kid says, "What in the world is going on over here? I'm not Jewish."
You get
right? It doesn't matter, but we'll sell the chametz to you, right? So that's it.
Yeah. Why do you need bar mitzvah to sell chametz?
What's that?
Why would you need bar mitzvah to sell chametz?
Because to make a kinyan, it has to be a gadol. Yeah, good. So that question whether that applies by goyim also. And even that's only for some, that's not by all, if I remember correctly, that's not by all Choshim Mishpat Dinam either. That's only in certain cases, the Matana, but I don't know if it necessarily would apply in a situation like this. So this is, I'm telling you, this is discussed. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva on this point. Okay.
Yeah, the famous Gemaras where a child is sent as a shliach for the father to go to the store and pick up something and he acquired it on behalf of the father.
So this is a question. Okay, good. So this you have to know. It depends on how old is the question. How old is the child? I mean, yeah, you have to know. In other words, we know, for example, it's well known that on Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, we have the mitzvah of lulav, where the Torah says, "Lokachtem lochem," that it has to be your ownership. So there's a whole question, you know, whether, you know, if not we hold the halacha that if a lulav was given to a child, a child can acquire something if it's das acheres machno. So if an adult had the intent to give it to the child, so then we hold that would be, the child would have acquired it legally, but then you can't use that. So you have to know, you can't use it because he can't be, das acheres machton, so means that you, he can acquire it, but he cannot transact it back. So therefore, this is a question. So, okay, like I say, these are areas which come up, and some of them not uncommonly, where people are not aware of it. Everybody just assumes, oh, he's bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, fine, nothing to worry about. Not necessarily true. You want to hire a Baal Tekeah for Rosh Hashanah, you have to see. If it's a teenage kid, you have to know. You have to know. Okay, now, the mitzvah of making a Suda when there is a bar mitzvah also is something which has become, and we mentioned a few minutes ago, a very large area in the American Judaism where we make elaborate parties. But the fact of the matter is that the source for such a thing is to make what's called nowadays in the common jargon the bo bayom. Bo bayom means on the day that the child becomes bar or bas mitzvah. On that day. In other words, very often they wait to the Sunday or whatever. Sometimes, you know, the kids are missing the summer, they wait till everybody comes back. But really, that practice is a totally voluntary idea. You want to make a party, fine, but you don't have to if you don't want to. You know, that's no big deal at all. However, there is a source when the child becomes of age, bo bayom, on that day, to make a party. This is found in the Medrash and in the Gemara. We had a few weeks ago that Avram made a mishta gadol biyom higamel es Yitzchak, which literally is translated on the day that Yitzchak was weaned. But in the Medrash it says that there was on the day that he became bar mitzvah. What's special about that? Because of the fact that a person is supposed to celebrate. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I have the mitzvahs to do. Right? And even a child who was doing the mitzvahs previously, but we have a concept that gadol misha mitzvah v'oseh, that a person who does mitzvahs in an obligatory manner receives greater reward than a person who does it voluntarily, which is somewhat counterintuitive, but the explanation for that is because of the fact that when you have the pressure of doing it, so it's much harder. You know, before the kids bar mitzvah, or let's say a woman wants to hear the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah. So in the worst case scenario, if she didn't hear the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah, it's no big deal, because when it's a mitzvah shazman groma, a woman is not chayiv in that mitzvah, technically. So the greater pressure is for the person who has to do it. So therefore, it's brought down that a party should be made on that day. And even if they have a grand celebration that's going to take place on a later point, you know, they're going to make a big event in a hall and shoot off fireworks and all kinds of things, right? But the fact of the matter is that whenever the bo bayom is, the bo bayom should be celebrated. And this is really, again, an area where people are not, the awareness of this has gotten much greater over the last 10, 15 years, but it wasn't always so well known. And people thought, oh, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. One of them is almost mandatory to make some sort of celebration. And the other one is completely voluntary. So now, we all know there is a question that came up here in this country in particular about the celebration of the bas mitzvah for a girl. And essentially nowadays it's commonly done just as much as for boys, with the difference being that it's not done in shul, that it's not done in public. The concept of modesty, which is one of the areas that is part of the chinuch for a young woman, is that they make a party, let's say, and the family and friends get together and so forth. This is also has the same basis. In other words, the basis for this is the same, because she's chayav in mitzvahs also. She's obliged to keep the mitzvah, so it's the same thing. So a person, you know, the fact that it's not done in the same way, like we mentioned in the past, there are other factors that come into this, which make it that, you know, there are agendas out there that are not all holy and pure, and sometimes, you know, the rabbi will feel that it's not appropriate to do this, whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, there is such an inyan that it should be. It's not nothing. Surely not nothing. In other words, there's such a thing. I'm celebrating, especially if it's bo bayom. If it's on that day, so then the same way like a boy, Baruch Hashem, today I have the mitzvahs. So, you know, that's something that a person should take into consideration. Lastly, yeah.
If the bo bayom, we're not actually assuming that they're actually have shtei saros.
Yeah.
So then, at what point is that bo bayom party?
Well, I don't know. It's done always. It's always done then. I don't know. It's a good question. Why I don't take that into consideration? I don't know. That's the way it is. That people, you know, people just assume for these purposes. People assume that it's valid. Okay.
Well,
last.
Are you saying Bobayom is deraisa as opposed to rabbanan?
It's not deraisa to
right,
do
so,
it.
So that's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
That's
right. Right. Right.
You're not taking consideration.
Right.
You're
right.
Consideration.
Right. 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 Also, l'chum. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. This is the way it's done. This is the way it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. With the age of the 13,
yes.
Simon on that, he has to have these signs.
Simon, yeah.
So what, people can't be yotzi under him unless those signs
unless exist? It's the Rabbanan. Unless it's the Rabbanan. Another and a good, very good question. In other words, if a kid wants to say a bracha for you.
But he puts tefillin on, that's the raisa. So
the putting on, yeah, but that he has to do himself because you have to play both l'chumra. In other words, like this, l'chumra, you have to play both sides of the fence. In other words, you have to assume maybe he has it. So maybe he must put on tefillin.
He must put on tefillin.
But the fact that he puts on tefillin is not an indication that he has it. It's just that it became the common practice that the child puts on the tefillin at that point.
So
but if he wants to say a bracha, let's say you have a glass of juice, and he wants to say a bracha for you, so that he could be motzi you. That he could be motzi you. Why could he be motzi you with that? Because that bracha is midrabbanan. So if the bracha is midrabbanan, for that type of halachic domain, you could rely that he has the physical simanim. But if he's doing something that's midaraisa, if he's doing something like in certain cases, berachas hamazon, or in certain cases, shofar. Kiddush, shofar, yeah. Pasha zachar, things like that, right? Some people have havdalah, according to some opinions, right? So that, then this is not a joke. And it happens... I just want to reiterate that this is something that needs to be discussed with a Rav, because you have very often men travel on business. And something that goes away for Shabbos. So who's going to make Kiddush in the house and Avdol in the house? The boy, the bar mitzvah boy. Right? Okay. Yeah. You have to know. Take it easy. Are we so quickly assuming that he could do it?
Yeah,
you have to know all these. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's brought in the, if I remember correctly, in the Pisrei Tshuva in Chosh Mishpat, I think it says that already 18 years old, you could assume for sure. But there is no question that 13, 14, 15 is a question.
What if he's one of these in between, doesn't have hair or thing?
So it gets the technicality, the ins and outs of it, the person can discuss with a rabbi, the technicalities of it.
Okay,
now last but not least, I just want to say one last thing which comes up, and that is to give, very often in shuls, they have the practice that they call up, the big show is made, and the rabbi gives the drasha, and then he calls up the bar mitzvah boy, and he gives him a gift. On behalf of the shul, behalf of the membership, sisterhood, whatever it is, we present you with this gift. Now, the issue here in the halacha is that there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos that you're not supposed to give gifts on Shabbos and Yontif. This is a din, the Gzeirah Rabbanan, that gifts should not be given unless they are needed for Shabbos and Yontif. So what that means is that if you ran out of sugar in your house and you go to your next door neighbor and say, can I have sugar? So they're not going to charge you for it. So they're giving you a gift, right? But that gift is needed for Shabbos. That there's no question. You can take that. Right, so too, if on the first day of Sukkot you don't have your own lulav, and somebody else has one, and as we mentioned a while ago, there's a din that the lulav has to be on your ownership on the first day of Sukkot. So again, that's no problem, because that's needed for Yontif. If it's needed for Yontif, so you could take it without any hesitation. Right. However, to give a gift in general, sometimes people wait to give gifts for Shabbos. You know, they want to honor Shabbos, so they wait to give a gift. Now, this is not so simple because people are not aware of this, that you're not supposed to give gifts on Shabbos and Yontif unless it's needed. So now you'll say that, well, but they're giving the child a chumash, so it's needed. Okay, so how many times does the child go home from shul and immediately say, hey, let's learn the chumash that they just gave me, right? So, you know, whether it's needed, especially they have one in the house already, so that's not really needed. Yeah, so usually the rabbi takes it back. Or another way to do it, if you don't want to look like an Indian giver, you know, there are always people in shul that are looking and saying, what in the world? What kind of gift was that? Right? So what you could do is you could give it to someone else before Shabbos to accept on behalf of that person. That's okay. In other words, the rabbi has somebody else in the shul that before Shabbos just goes over here, I'm going to give this to the boy tomorrow, but I want him to be able to keep it, so therefore you accept it on his behalf right now. Right? This happens Once we're on this topic, you know, sometimes a couple gets engaged. So they give the purchase of the engagement ring, big moment, very big moment. So the fellow thinks, you know, I'll make it nice. I'll give her the engagement ring on Shabbos. It'll be a nice thing, going to her parents for Shabbos. And, you know, meanwhile, we all still get along. So here, I'm going to, you know, give her the ring and it'll be wonderful. So that's... okay, could be. It could be. That's okay. But if barring that, really the thing to do would be to give it before Shabbos, so that or give it to someone else to accept on behalf of this person. It's a schus. Achon l'adam shelo b'fanav. You could accept something for someone to their benefit, even without consent. So therefore, you you could do. But I'm just pointing out that this is a practice that happens in shul. And sometimes, if you live in a place where there's an eruv. So let's say they're only having Shabbos. They're not having an event in a hall on a Sunday or whatever. And you decide, you know, I'll just bring the gift today. There's an Erev here. I'm going to shul. I've got a gift for the boy, so I'll bring the gift to shul. So that's not really the right thing to do. The right thing to do is maybe convenient, but it's not the correct thing because of this fact that you should not make kinyanim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Does it need to be someone else, or if I buy the gift,
no, you have to give someone else. So what's that?
I heard right before Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
You need a minion desperately, and yeah. You give a child.
Okay. Yeah. So you may be wondering that I didn't cover any of the things on these sheets. Right. Which is good point. So everything that I spoke out a little bit under the time pressure here because they have an event. But it does say there is an opinion. Okay. Thank you. This will end on this point. Right. There is a question whether there is an opinion that holds that you can count for the 10th person, the 10th man on the team, you can count the child below Bar Mitzvah holding a chumash. This is an opinion that's brought in Poskim. It's not a Baba Meisa. This is a real opinion. What's that?
Only art scroll.
Only art scroll chumash. Right. Now, I don't have both sheets here, but if I could just have one. I'm sorry. Just buy one of them for a second. So if you look at here, we'll just do this. On page one, and we'll end right now. In Halacha Dalid, okay, so it's four lines from the top of the page. So I'm sorry, let's start from the second line from the top. Yesh matirin loma davar shebekdusha b'tisha v'tzir of katan shuyosmi ben sheish v'yodeh l'imim mispalim. Right, that some say you can count even a kid over six for that purpose. Okay, and then he says, but however, that the most of the poskim did not agree with that. Then the Ramah says, "Va'afilai de chumish shebiyado ein letzarfo," that even with holding a chumish shouldn't count it. Miu yesh nagin lahakel b'shas hadchak. However, there are those who are lenient. There are definitely people that did it, and maybe even still people that do it. The Mishnah Brura quotes many poskim who were not in favor of it. So therefore, it's not commonly done. If somebody does it, it's not like they're off the wall. There are poskim who say, well, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, you'll see that he quotes poskim. But it's not common. It's commonly done in our times. But like I say, even a kid comes in bar mitzvah, you have to know. Yeah, you know. So anyway, these are there are a lot more things that go into it. But I just wanted to highlight a few of the points that come up. The distinction halacha between a minor and an adult, which you have in every culture, in every legal system. So it starts by us younger. It starts by us younger than the 18 that you have, let's say, in the American law. So it's just important to know the ins and outs. Even if we, you know, we say, well, we're all passed by mitzvah, obviously. Okay, but it's important to know. If you're in a shul, you have to know for what you could rely, for what you cannot rely, where you have to, you know, maybe think twice. You don't want to embarrass anybody, but you may have to think twice before you just count somebody in, or before you hire this boy to be the Baal Tokeya. You may have to give it some thought. Yeshikaya.